Today's reading from Romans that happened to coincide with today's topic. We'll read real quick. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth may glorify the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Okay, so we'll talk real quick about unity in the body of Christ. Talk about unity, and then how it relates to individuality. And then if we have time at the end, two quick side topics on problem solving and decision making as they relate to the context of unity. But first, John chapter 17 is part of the prayer that the Lord prayed as he was bidding farewell to his disciples. Those around three chapters of St. John is the night when the Lord was going to be betrayed. And as you know, he knows everything, and he knew that he'd be betrayed. And he's comforting the disciples before he leaves them. And he first prayed for himself, then he prayed for the disciples. Then he prayed for all of us, the church, who would believe in him through the preaching of his disciples. And we won't read everything, but maybe just a small part of the prayer. The Lord Jesus says, I pray for them, I don't pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I'm glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world. These are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, the Lord's praying that all his disciples be one. And he continues and then prays for all of us. He says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and I've loved them as you have loved me. Glory be to God forever. Amen. So that if the Lord is praying, bidding farewell to his disciples, and makes a point of repeating five times, they may be one, they all may be one, they also may be one, they may be one, they may be perfect in one, then unity or being one must be important for him to emphasize it five times in his farewell prayer before he goes to suffer and be crucified. So why is unity important? With unity, the Holy Spirit works. When the apostles were united together on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, the Holy Spirit established the church. They were all with one accord. They were united and in one place. Again, later in Acts 15, there was a heresy called the heresy of the Judaizers. Those who were Jewish and had become Christian saw that the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the Romans, Greeks, the barbarians, were entering the Christian faith. And they were saying, how come they get to enter like that? We had to go through all the laws and all the customs and all traditions before we could become Christian. They have to go through all that as well. And the apostles convened in the first Christian council in Jerusalem against the heresy of the Judaizers. And they said, no, that's not true. We'll write them a letter for what things they have to abstain from. Of course, you can't commit sexual immorality. Of course, you can't drink blood or eat things strangled or offered to idols. Keep your things away. Keep those old idol-worshipping habits away from the Christian faith. But nothing says you have to go through all the Jewish traditions in order to become Christians. And it's very interesting that the letter they sent out to the whole Christian churches at the time, the apostles wrote, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The Holy Spirit and them are united. Without unity, there's no work of the Holy Spirit. Without unity, there's no church. Without unity, there's no spiritual growth. The Lord also gave the example, even the evil spirits. If a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. If that's the fact with even the evil spirit work together, how much more us who have the Spirit of God. So, four aspects of unity. Before I can be united with everyone else, I have to be united in myself. And the word unity comes from what number? One. The word integrity comes from what number? Integer is one. So if I want to be united, I have to be united in myself first, which is integrity. And integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy, or hypocrisy, which means multi-faced. One thing inside, different thing outside. One thing with you, a different thing with you. I talk about you nicely to your face, I talk about you not nicely behind your back. That's hypocrisy. I need to have integrity. The best way to have integrity is just to keep it simple. Whatever's on the inside comes on the outside, not to worry about what people think, just to worry about what God sees inside. So if I'm united with myself, I have integrity. Then I could have unity with others. Of course, unity in the service is important, but unity in the home between the husband and wife, unity in the home within the family unit, unity within the body of Christ, which is the church, and finally, unity within the service of Christ, which we are serving. Now, unity does not contradict or negate or push down my own individuality. We all are individual members of Christ, and the most perfect example is the Holy Trinity, the three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united, are one, but each has a separate role. We can't say the Father died on the cross for us, the Son died on the cross for us. We can't say the Son came down on the apostles on the day of the Pentecost. No, the Holy Spirit came down. Each has his individual role, but they are united, no separation. So unity does not contradict the role of the individual. So in service, we need both. We need the unity in the service, but each uses their own talents, ability, calling, skills with respect to each one else's talents, abilities, individuality, family situation, and considerations. I may be able to serve in a certain capacity, and that's all I can do because of my family obligations. Someone else may have a different set of circumstances. They're able to serve in a complementary way. We don't need to say, no, you have to serve the same way as I'm serving. Each individual has their own skills and talents and calling. We obviously respect everyone's individuality, although we're united in the service. Okay, now we're going to skip to two side topics. One on problem solving, because it's easy to be united if we all don't have any problems. It's easy to have that basic level of unity where we're not going deep. But once we go deep, that's when we each realize that we have our own points of view, and there's nothing wrong with that. So how do we still remain united when we all have our different perspective? And you know the acronym, what would Jesus do? So I stole the next five slides from my wife's Sunday school lesson because I saw that it was fitting to today's topic. So five situations that the Lord dealt with and solved problems. The first one, St. Peter came to the Lord and said, I don't know if St. Peter here was talking about Andrew, his brother, or in general. He said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven times. So my brother can sin against me repeatedly 490 times, and I'm still asked to forgive and love. So that's how the Lord solved the problem. That's not our solution, that's the Lord's solution that we have to look at and emulate. So when I am hurt or wronged here means I was right, so someone else did something wrong, even repeatedly, I still am asked to solve the problem by loving and forgiving. Now, you can love and forgive. Now, he doesn't force you to go expose yourself to that same situation where you were hurt and get repeatedly hurt. Okay, so you're allowed to forgive, but if you see someone is hurting you above your ability to handle it, you are not called to throw yourself into that situation. You are called to love and pray for them and forgive them, but you're not called to go and keep getting hurt. Another situation. Now St. Peter himself, after he listened to the advice of the Lord, years later he wrote an epistle, he wrote this letter, and he said about the Lord, when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. So again, the lesson for me, the problem is, yes, we are all going to be innocently accused, hated, persecuted for the Lord's sake. And the solution that St. Peter is observing from the Lord, that he's asking us to do the same, is just to be patient and long-suffering. So again, problem solved, the Lord's style, with patience and long-suffering. Third situation is the Lord himself. Here we see St. Paul observing that he was being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So when I'm asked to do something that's difficult, or in this case impossible, the solution is still to obey the Lord. Two more quick situations. Now back to St. Peter. The Lord said something very tough to him at one point. He turned to St. Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of things of God, but things of men." So here, when close ones, friends or family, give ungodly advice, you have to recognize it, and there's no compromise with any evil advice, even if it comes from those who normally give good advice. And finally, of the Lord, it says, it came to pass in those days that he went up out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. When we are faced with decisions or with problems, the solution that the Lord showed us is to constantly be praying. So just five quick examples to help us remain united in our service, because we will face problems, face difficult situations, face criticism, and we have to deal with all that in the way that the Lord dealt with all that if we're going to be serving in his footsteps. Okay, now to decision making. And I think everyone knows that in the Ijbeah, in addition to the canonical 7 hours of prayer, at the end of the Ijbeah, there's select prayers that are typically before confession or before repentance, before confession, after confession, before communion, after communion. And in our Ijbeahs, they also have this excellent decision-making prayer. Now, we all make tons of decisions throughout the day. And if we're not making specific decisions, we are implicitly making decisions. And we're making decisions not just on our behalf, but on behalf of our families and children, and in service, those who are following our example. So it's even more so in service that we pray for God's guidance before making decisions. So maybe we could just pray while sitting down together, Lord. And dot, dot, dot here means whatever decision you want to put. So if there's not a specific, you could say, and now that I'm about to start the rest of my life. Lord, you know that I do not know what's good for me. Now that I'm about to start the rest of my life, how can I know what is right, or if it is right, unless you guide me with your grace? Lord, I beseech your guidance in this matter and every matter. Do not let me follow my tendencies, lest I'll be confused and fall. Keep me from slipping. Help me. Let it be according to your will. See it fit, grant me your blessing to complete it. If not, remove this desire from my heart. You know all things. Nothing is concealed from you. Lord, I'm your servant. Deal with me as you see fit, as I realize that I'll have neither success nor peace unless I submit myself to the grace of your will. Teach me to say in every occasion, Father, not what I want, but what you will, for it is the kingdom, power, the glory forevermore. Amen. It's a very nice prayer to add to our daily, either morning or nighttime prayers, or memorize and say whenever we're faced with a decision, or like I said, could be said more generally every day. Decision-making itself, though, and to be united in our decision, it's important to realize that the Lord likes things organized, not chaotic. Our church shows us that we have church councils to make decisions. Our church has the Holy Synod, the Holy Orders. Each local church has a church structure, for example, a board. Sunday school has an organizational structure, And decisions can either be big or small, and all need unity. So there's a simple model from management disciplines for decision making based on the five D's. If we need to make a decision, we should discuss, we should communicate. We can debate, not everything, but we can debate some things engaging openly. Then we have to make a decision, and it's the position of the leader to make that decision, but without rushing. Then once it's decided, we do. So discuss, debate, decide, do, take action, and then it's done. Even if I disagree with the decision, but the decision's been made, I need to move on and let it go. So discuss, debate, decide, do, done. Okay? So on the first two, discussing and debating needs a little bit of formality or a bit of structure. And the words, I can't just be speaking random things. I have to think through the things that I'm contributing to the discussion or to the debate. And of course, there are things that are not open for debate, such as our faith in the Holy Trinity, as stated in the Creed. The problem is sometimes we rush the decision without discussion and debate. Some people feel there's no flexibility. How did that decision come to be made? It could be frustrating. And some people's ideas could not have been heard. And maybe they're good ones, but we may or may not act on them for various reasons. Now, the decision itself and the follow-through. Decisions shouldn't be rushed. And like we said, there's a decision-making prayer. So the Lord didn't leave us without a specific means to seek his advice. Of course, you could pray your own intentions, but there's a decision-making prayer that we just heard as well. And if we don't make decisions, again, it could be frustrating, confusing. And if we don't, just once the decision's made, if we're not united in following the decision, then it could lead to fruitless and endless distraction and division because people are pulling different ways. So to summarize, unity, without which there's no work of the Holy Spirit, no spiritual growth, no church. Individuality is not contradicted by unity. In problem solving, we follow the Lord's footsteps and we need to constantly be praying. And in decision making, it's critical that we seek the Lord's decisions himself, and that we amongst ourselves discuss, debate, decide, do, and then we're done. And finally, the verse from the Lord, and I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And here we have more than two or three. And finally, let's conclude together by praying once more the decision-making prayer. If you stand up for prayer, Lord, you know that I do not know what is good for me now, but to start the rest of my life, how can I know what is right or if it is right unless you guide me with your grace? O Lord, I beseech your guidance in this matter and every matter. Do not let me follow my tendency, lest I'll be confused and fall. Keep me from slipping. Help me. Let it be according to your will. See it fit, grant me your blessing to complete it. If not, remove those desires from my heart. For you know all things, nothing is concealed from you. Lord, I'm your servant. Deal with me as you see fit. So I realize I'll have neither success nor peace unless I submit myself to the grace of your will. Teach me to say in every occasion, Father, not what I want, but what you will. For he is the King, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Through the intercession of St. Mary, hear us when we pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Thank you.